For the past two Lord's days, we've been studying a very important subject, the manna God provided from heaven. There in Exodus chapter 16, last Lord's Day, we saw God's grace provided this wonderful gift of manna, but obedience was required to receive it. And that applies to us today. Yes, the grace of God appeareth unto all men everywhere, but we must accept it by obeying the gospel of Christ. Let's never forget that. Now, this morning, we want to continue our study as we want to note the Israelites, by murmuring and complaining, did what? Well, they showed their unbelief. And that is a lesson for us today as well. And we'll pick back up with our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. We all should know what that stands for. Yes, preparing for eternity. And that's what we all need to be doing, of course. Now, at this time, I want to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, yes, in Martinsville. We study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so in spirit with a proper attitude and also in truth in accordance to the New Testament pattern. I can assure you that you will receive a warm welcome, and we look forward to meeting you. Something else to mention, we look forward to having Bible studies. If you would like to set that up, please let us know and we'll be glad to meet together at your convenience. We're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have, and your comments, positive or negative, are appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151, our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.com. Now we want to make our two announcements again, and that's the Stop 11 Road Church of Christ lectureship that's held every year. It begins November 6th, yes, a week from today, and you can look at their website or Facebook page and see the speakers, the times of the services going from Sunday through Thursday. That would be the 6th through the 10th. I am privileged to be speaking at 1:30 Sunday afternoon, and then later on in the week, I believe it's Wednesday, and the morning, I look forward to hearing the other preachers, though, not only speaking myself, but such outstanding gospel preachers on this lectureship. I don't mean myself, but the other fellows, I can guarantee you, they know how to shuck the corn and put it out where the calves can get it. And I look forward to seeing you there, Lord willing. Now, our gospel meeting will begin, Lord willing, Friday. That would be November the 11th, following the lectureship. And Brother Ronnie Whittemore, who is also on the lectureship, will be doing our gospel meeting. He's an outstanding gospel preacher, well known in this area. So I know you'll be glad that you're in attendance Friday night at 7 p.m., Saturday at 7 p.m., and then Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and then Sunday morning, 10:30 worship service, and Sunday afternoon after the potluck lunch, that's always great, it's 1 p.m. finishing up the gospel meeting. We look forward to having you with us. Now, let's get into our study this morning, as we're going to be, again, seeing what happened after, of course, God fed the children of Israel with quail and with the manna that we're studying about, a gift from heaven, and also pointing, of course, to Christ. So, as we noted earlier, how the Israelites began murmuring soon after they left Egypt. And sadly, their murmuring and complaining continued throughout the wilderness wandering. Yes, that's ungratefulness, isn't it? What they had witnessed was not only the power of God, but the love of God. Let's not forget that. And thus they were without an excuse to murmur or complain. And the examples of God's chosen people in the Old Testament reveal, yes, a great lesson for our admonition and learning as Christians, as we know from Romans 15:4, 1 Corinthians 10:1 through 11 as well. Now, this inspired account of the unbelief of God's chosen people is God's warning to us today. So let us keep in mind that the term unbelief can apply to members of the Lord's church today. Yes, everyone would say, well, I believe in God. I believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. But if we're not living a life of following Christ, and we're not staying with the commands that God has given us, well, we're in unbelief. And so the main lesson for all members of the Lord's church is the danger of falling into unbelief and not realizing it. That's right. And that is a lesson in itself. You could preach several lessons dealing with just that subject. So it should be obvious that if we fail to obey God's commands, our eternal salvation is at stake. The unbelief of God's people, as we can study in the book of Exodus, it's there for us to see. And we go to the New Testament and you notice Hebrews 3:12 through chapter 4, verse 1. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. That's right, until the end. Now notice, while it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. That was back in the Old Testament days. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years. That's how long they wandered in the wilderness. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. We don't want to come short of eternal life in heaven and be in the fires of hell for eternity because we came up short. You see the seriousness involved here? We all should. Well, we must not harden our hearts as they did. We must stay with the Scriptures. The Bible is always right. Preachers, Bob Hawkins as one of them, can be wrong, but the Bible is always right. That's right, isn't it? We all should agree with that. And so let's not murmur and complain like they did. but stay faithful no matter what happens. Now, God's ultimate gift is Jesus Christ, the bread of life. We certainly want to discuss this before we close out our study of the manna God provided as a gift to the Israelites, yes, as they came out of bondage. And as we've been saying, this, of course, was pointing to something greater, and that being Jesus Christ, the bread of life. So let's now go to John chapter 6. And Jesus said to those Jews who were not seeking him for eternal life, but for the wrong reason. John chapter 6, verses 26 and 27. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, yes, he's also the Son of Man. He came in the flesh in order to die. And thus, we need to labor for the meat which perisheth not, that endureth unto everlasting life. Now, verse 30, notice, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Well, why should these Jews be asking for a sign from Jesus, having witnessed the day before how he fed 5,000 with bread and fish miraculously? Verses 1 through 14 here in John chapter 6. And then in verse 31, notice, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So they were referring to Moses as the one who gave their forefathers manna out of heaven to eat. That's back in Exodus chapter 16, is it not? Yes, we know from having studied it. So you see, they're giving credit to Moses. And then Jesus corrected them, verses 32 and 33. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So they needed to be corrected. What about us today? We may need correction as well to understand the importance of God the Father sending his only begotten Son into the world. The love of God, John 3:16, should be obvious, and we should respond to the love of God. Now, the Jews believed that the manna came down from heaven in Moses' day. Yes, they believed that, but sadly, they could not see Jesus as the true bread coming from heaven. As they then said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Verse 34, John chapter 6. Here is the response of our Lord and Savior. Starting with verse 34, yes, or continuing from verse 34 and verse 35, notice, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now that should really set us straight, that we need to focus on Christ as the means of our salvation, having been sent down from heaven, yes, by His Heavenly Father, our Father who art in heaven. God the Father sent His Son down from heaven in order to die for our sins, and that should get our attention. And it should motivate us to want to do God's will, to serve Him faithfully no matter what happens. But notice the reaction in verse 41 of John chapter 6, and how hurtful this must have been for our Lord to hear such words. The Jews then murmured at Him because He said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." What's their reaction? Murmuring again, like their forefathers, as we studied earlier. And what Jesus offered them is still being offered to all accountable souls today, and it's so much better than physical food because it's everlasting life, salvation from our sins. And as long as we remain faithful in the Lord's church and die faithful, we'll have that home in heaven. God cannot lie, and that's the promise He has given. So this is much better than physical food, as we all should know. Now, Jesus made a clear distinction between eating the physical manna in the wilderness wandering and eating of His teaching, His flesh, which is to be filled with the spiritual food and drink of the gospel of Christ. Let's go back to John 6, verses 54 through 58. "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Now, Jesus made it clear that the gift of physical bread from heaven did not save the Israelites in their unbelief. But we today must eat of the bread of life to live forever. Since Jesus is the bread of life, not a bread of life, no, He is the only source of spiritual and eternal life. John 14:6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now Jesus goes on to say, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." That's John 6:63. So what does it mean to eat of Christ, the bread of life? Simply stated, Christ is in us by our eating, that is, obeying His doctrine. Chewing on His teaching, that is, taking it in, learning of Christ, and submitting to His doctrine, obeying His teaching, following His example. That's what it means. Let's study carefully the following scriptures. 2 Corinthians 13:5. "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you?" Notice that. except ye be reprobates. We don't want to be a reprobate, do we? Reprobate? No. No, but we want to have Christ in us. And that comes through feeding on his teaching, obeying his doctrine. Colossians 1, 27 and 28, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That would be mature. But Christ is in us as we, again, submit to his teaching. That is, obey the gospel and live faithfully. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The command is specific to sing, not play, as so many misunderstand, that we are to obey, yes, these commands in worshiping God, for example. So we're seeing, though, the word of Christ dwells in us richly, again, as we submit to his will. Obedience is required. Faith only, grace only, is false doctrine. And it's damnable doctrine. Don't fall for that. You don't see that in the scriptures. You hear it from those who are ear ticklers. Stay with the word of God. Faith only is a dead faith. Faith without works is dead. Study James 2:24. We need to stay with the scriptures. So the heart of this matter, and I wish we had time to study all of John chapter 6. You'll want to do that. Please study all of John chapter 6. But notice, the heart of the matter is this. Unless we learn, obey, and continue in the doctrine of Christ, we will starve to death spiritually, which means to be lost in our sins. We're going to be judged by the word that Jesus has spoken. John 12:48. That's clear. We're not judged by what someone told us, what we may have thought, what we felt. We're going to be judged by the words that Jesus has spoken. In other words, the doctrine of Christ. Yes, and we need to study Romans 6:16 through 18. That form of doctrine, that's what we're obeying, and stay with it. So God's greatest gift is the sacrifice of Christ as the means of eternal salvation. Now that should get our attention and hold our attention, that we follow the example of Christ. Stay with it. Pattern our lives after his example, after he lived in the flesh. Remember, after Jesus washed the smelly, dirt-stained feet of the disciples before they were able to eat, he took it upon himself to do this task. And then he said in John 13:15, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." Not just have a ceremony of washing feet. No, when people have clean feet, that's not the purpose of washing someone's feet. Now, if they were dirty and needed washing, and that's the task to be done. But Jesus is teaching humility, to humble ourselves and follow him daily, bearing our cross. That is, putting to death anything that gets in our way of following him. Now, tragically, though available to all, as we mentioned, Titus 1:11, the majority of the world refuses to respond to God's gracious gift and that's by obeying the gospel of Christ. Study Matthew 7, 13 and 14. There's a narrow way and there's a broad way. Most of the people are on the broad way, going to where? To destruction. The narrow way leads to eternal life, life everlasting. The gate is narrow. The broad way has a wide gate. You can go right in, whatever you want to carry. But you've got to get rid of those things to go through that straight gate on the narrow road. And that's the right road. We need to understand, yes, excuse me, that this gift of manna that we've studied about was from God. But the greater gift that we've just finished studying about is Christ, the bread of life. And I emphasize the bread of life. And we need to eat His flesh, yes, and know His teaching. Thus, we submit to His will in obedience. It's not that difficult to understand. We've seen how God's proved His children under both covenants, as in our first lesson. Are we overcoming life's trials and tribulations and coming forth as refined gold? Just as we've learned from our study of God's gracious gift of manna, it was received by the Israelites after their going out and their dwelling place, out of their dwelling place to get it. Following God's instructions, well, we too must do works of righteousness, not works of merit, to receive God's gracious gift of eternal salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. James 2, 24. So, how many today are failing to respond to our Lord and Savior's invitation? Matthew 11, 28 through 30. No one can earn the death of Christ on the cruel cross of Calvary, but we who are accountable must obey the gospel and continue in the faith, even unto death, to enter in the joys of heaven. This murmuring and complaining that we've seen by the Israelites led to their unbelief, which resulted in their dying in the wilderness before the second generation entered into the promised land. Their children went in, and Joshua and Caleb. The rest of them died. And Moses, yes, he didn't get to enter in because he struck the rock when God said to speak to it. And God buried him, but he got to see it from the mountain, from that mountain, the promised land. But how many members of the body of Christ murmur and complain, showing their lack of trust in God's providential care? May we, as the Apostle Paul, learn how to be content no matter what our circumstances are, Philippians 4:11, 1 Timothy 6:8. So what is our response to God's greatest gift? Are we feeding and drinking in His doctrine, the bread of life? Have we obeyed the gospel? We stand ready to assist you in doing so. We have to hear the truth, believe that Jesus is the Christ, repent of our sins, making a change of wills, and do the will of God. Make the good confession unto salvation and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. And He adds us to His body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful even unto death. We thank you so much for listening today.